This podcast is brought to you by Money Control.
Hello and welcome to Money Control. This is Dustin Yard and you're tuned into On The Ball, our sports podcast. Manchester United welcome Liverpool while Manchester City face a tricky trip away to Crystal Palace. And to preview all the top games of this week, we have Prakar Sachdeo who's joining us on call. Hi and welcome back to the show, Prakar.
Hi, Dustin. It's good to join you for this podcast.
Well, Prakar, let's dive right into it. Manchester United are welcoming Liverpool as the two most successful teams in England face off. Well, I'll speak about United, but Prakar, what do you have to say about Liverpool's form so far this season?
Well, they started well. They started with some really outright wins, which again emphasize that how strong Liverpool are and why they are the current European champions. But over the past 2 to 3 games, although they have managed wins and they have kept their winning streak alive, but those wins have been near wins. One I recall against Sheffield, then the previous one before going into international break, there was a 2-1 victory over Leicester thanks to that last minute penalty by James Milner. So over the last 2-3 games, the players look a bit drained out. And the victories have been all by the margins of just one goal. But the winning streak is still alive, so that keeps me happy. Going into this game, Liverpool are a stronger side.
What about the international break? Do you think that will help the team re-energize or will it just make the players more tired? Because most of them were on international duty, right?
Yes, they were on international duty. But compared to the demoralized and the injured prone United side that they will be facing on Sunday, that they should not get complacent, but that should give them a bit of confidence that, yes, we are at a much better position as compared to United.
Yeah, United come into this game on 12th spot in the table for all our listeners who weren't aware because you can't see them in the top half of the table. And they are just two points away from the relegation zone. And their last game, that 1-0 defeat to Newcastle, would have been exceptionally crushing for them. Especially because I think United were chasing Sean Longstaff in the summer. And Longstaff did have a great game. And his brother, Matthew Longstaff, scored on debut. So that was a great story for Newcastle. Also, what about injury-wise, Prakar? How is the Liverpool squad looking for this game?
Injury-wise, no major injury concern. And this Manchester United versus Liverpool game is going to be the story of two goalkeepers. While Liverpool are expecting Alisson to be back and starting against United. And United have a major setback with the injury to David De Gea during the international break. So that made a massive difference to morale of both the sides. And other than Alisson coming back, all the players are fit and ready to go. So no other major injury concerns for Jurgen Klopp as of now, as we speak.
Well, United, I think, apart from De Gea, also Pogba limped out of the previous game. So Solskjaer has already said that he will be sidelined for this game. And Anthony Martial is still making his way back. So from what Solskjaer said in his interview, he said that I could use Martial for maybe 20-30 minutes, so I don't see him coming into the starting 11.
Yes. And there have been a common, like a joke going around on internet. Like if we have to make a United and a Liverpool combined level, as of now, no United player makes into that combined level. That speaks a volume about the problem that United face as of now. So there's problem, but even if there are problems for United, United take Liverpool as their arch rivals, and at Old Trafford we can expect them to fire all cylinders and at least stop Liverpool for a 0-0 draw. They would hate to lose against Liverpool, and as we speak of United versus Liverpool, two stars of Liverpool, one their manager Jurgen Klopp and their forward Mohamed Salah, they don't particularly enjoy that great record against Manchester United. Jurgen Klopp is thrilled to register his first win at Old Trafford, and Mohamed Salah, for all the goals that he has scored in Premier League and in Champions League, he's yet to open his account against United. United have stopped Klopp and Salah, but overall, looking into this game, the Liverpool are a far stronger side and I can expect an outright win for Liverpool.
Yeah, also another understated fact about United is that they aren't really bad in defence. They look poor going forward, but Solskjaer has got that team to shape up solidly when it comes to defending. So it could be a tough outing for Liverpool to try to crack open that defence. what's the prediction, Prabhas? How do you think this game will come out?
I want to do nil win for Liverpool, but more often there have been cases when Liverpool are expected to win against a top 6 team, not that United are at top 6 as of now, but they have come with a disappointing nil-nil draw. But I expect a 2-0 victory for Liverpool.
Well, I'm going to divert from that. I think going to Old Trafford for any team could be intimidating, and United needs to win more, because if they lose this and lose their next game, they could just find themselves in the relegation spot.
Relegation spot, yes.
So I'm predicting a 1-0 victory for United, and all-out defense, and just going out against Liverpool on the counter. But we'll see how that plays out.
Sure, that would be an interesting game, yes.
Well, moving into the next game, it's Manchester City who are travelling to Selhurst Park to take on Crystal Palace. Now, Pep Guardiola will not particularly enjoy this fixture, especially after what happened in his recent games, right?
Yes. So, going into the international break, there was a demoralising 2-0 loss for Manchester City at home against Wolves. Now, I saw that match and the players were looking flat and they were looking out of sorts, they were looking out of ideas, and Wolves on counter-attacks on both occasions punished them rightly, and that loss would not go down with Pep Guardiola. So we can expect City to come back strong, like how they managed an outright 8-0 win after they lost against Norwich.
Yeah.
They came back strongly and thumped 8 goals. So after this loss against Wolves, we can expect plenty of goals, and that's how City plays.
Well, Crystal Palace also come into this game high on confidence though, because they are riding on back-to-back victories in the Premier League right now. And I think they will fancy their chances against the City side, especially playing at home. You remember last season they beat Chelsea 3-2 at the Etihad Stadium. That was thanks to a screamer from Andres Townsend. But this time they are also looking pretty solid up front. I think the combination between Wilfred Zaha and Ayew, where both of them are creating spaces for each other. And let's not forget, Christian Benteke is also there, and he did get on the score sheet for Belgium this week.
Sure.
So he would fancy his chances against what we could call a struggling defense for Manchester City.
No, here's an interesting fact. Manchester City's leading goal scorer, Sergio Aguero, whom City relies on more often than not to provide them goals. Now, he has not opened his account at Selhurst Park. He has played 6 Premier League games against Crystal Palace and he's yet to score a goal. So might be playing in Guardiola's mind, and looking at how Guardiola has shuffled his players around. So we might just see Aguero sitting on the bench, and we might see Gabriel Jesus starting as the out and out striker. But this could be a very neck and neck game, and one of the matches of the weekend to look out for.
Yeah, I also think Aguero is carrying an injury, because his Argentinian coach did say that he looks like he's really slow, and it looks like he's carrying an injury for quite some time. So that could be another factor.
Now that is an update. And talking about injuries, what City will be really heaving a sigh of relief that Kevin De Bruyne was warming up with the first team, so was John Stones. But more importantly, it is the Kevin De Bruyne that he has to come into the mix, so that he can link play from defense to the midfield to the attack. And often, he also takes free kicks, and he often creates. He's also amongst the goals. So Kevin De Bruyne back for City is one of the big things for them going into this match.
Well, so what are your predictions for this game then, Prakar?
I predict a 2-1 victory for City over Palace.
Well, I have it placed along the same lines. I think 3-1 victory for City, who will be looking to keep up pace with leaders Liverpool.
Yes, and if they slip in this match, then the gap between Liverpool and City will only widen up, and that will make Liverpool only more comfortable. So this is one of the must-win matches for them before they take on Liverpool later in the season.
Well, moving on to the next game, it's Chelsea who welcome Newcastle United to Stamford Bridge. What do you have to say about Chelsea for this game, Prakar?
Now, firstly, they had a comfortable win against Southampton before the international break, a 4-1 thumping to the Saints, and their usual set suspects in Tammy Abraham and N'Golo Kanté. Batshuayi, I guess, he played for Chelsea for the first time in this season, and Mason Mount, they were all amongst the goals. And now, after a slow start, Chelsea have started stitching up victories together. So they are now coming into form. They were slow off the blocks, but now they have picked the momentum. But against Newcastle, Blues have enjoyed good form at home at Stamford Bridge, and they have 6 Premier League wins against Newcastle in their past 6 matches at Stamford Bridge. So that speaks a lot about how confident they could be against Newcastle United.
But there have been a couple of injury concerns, right, for Chelsea over this international break.
Yes, I spoke about N'Golo Kante that he scored a goal for Chelsea for in last 2 matches, but then he picked up an injury while playing for France. Christensen also got injured while playing for Denmark. So was Kovacic injured. So Chelsea are depleted, so to speak. But then Ross Barkley showed some good form for England, so he can come in. But yes, loss of N'Golo Kante as a midfielder is a setback for any team. He makes the backbone in whichever team he plays for. We saw that in Leicester, how he contributes for France, and now he has been contributing for Chelsea for past
and
two seasons.
We've also seen Chelsea struggle at the start of the season, and that was without N'Golo Kante in the side. So I think once he comes to the team, he makes a big difference. Well, Newcastle also might just fancy their chances here, because let's not forget they did beat Tottenham away. And now are coming out of a victory against United at home. But I do think Newcastle might struggle against the movement that Chelsea bring into the game, because United and Tottenham both weren't playing at the highest level when they faced Newcastle. But I do think that Lampard might just get the better of Newcastle this time round. What are your predictions for this game, Prakar?
I predict a 2-0 victory for Chelsea against Newcastle.
Well, I'm seeing a 3-0 victory, especially with them playing at home, and Tammy Abraham is just having the time of his life right now in the league.
Yes.
Well, moving on to the next game, it's Sheffield United who welcome Arsenal. Well, what do you have to say about Sheffield for this game, brother? Can they take some points off Gunners?
Firstly, if you talk about their last game, against a team that is performing so poor, Watford, and they managed a 0-0 draw against Watford, the team that is now in the relegation zone. So we can expect some goals, at least a goal, but Sheffield only managed a 0-0 draw. There are quite a few concerns, and many of the Sheffields there are injured. The likes of David McGoldrick, Callum Robinson and Oliver McBurney, they are not fit to start for Sheffield. So not expecting much from Sheffield, although they will have a home advantage.
Will the injuries make things easier for Arsenal though?
Yes, I expect, like, because of these injuries, and you could be the better person to talk about Arsenal and what Arsenal will bring on table.
Well, Arsenal seem to find themselves in a good spot on the table right now, number 3. But if you ask any of the fans, there's a growing discontent right now with Emery's tactics on the field. They are saying there's no directness and it's rather flat on the pitch. But well, the results are coming and they are on third position on the table. And there was an interesting development midweek. Mesut Ozil did give a long interview to The Athletic. And in that, he expressed his discontent about being left out of the squad, but also admitted he has been working with a fitness coach. And later on, Emery also spoke to the press saying that Ozil could just return to the lineup. He hinted that, you know, he's reaching those levels that he wanted him to reach. So we could see Ozil return to the bench, which will be nice. And also Arsenal might see Kieran Tierney make his first start in the Premier League at left-back, which is a position Kolasinac hasn't really been filling to the best of abilities right now. So we could see a new look defence with Rob Holding also coming in to replace Socrates or David Luiz, one of the two. So it could be the start of something better for Arsenal after this international break. Also, Alexander Lacazette has returned to training and he might be on the bench. So the Arsenal fans could be in for an exciting fixture. But again, it's away and their form away hasn't been great so far historically. So we'll have to just wait and watch what happens there. What are your predictions for this one, Prasad?
I predict a 2-0 victory for Arsenal. Because of kind of problems that Sheffield are themselves in. So it's going to be an easy fixture for Arsenal this time around.
Well, I think it might be a 2-1 victory because I do not have the same trust in the Arsenal defence. But yeah, but I think Arsenal should be the favourites to win this one. Moving on to the last game, it's Tottenham who welcome Watford. Well, Tottenham are struggling this season, aren't they, Prakar?
Yes, so Tottenham's season is going from bad to worse, and they were from 3-0 before the international break against Brighton, and on top of it, their goalkeeper, Hugo Lloris, faced a severe hand injury, and he's ruled out till the next season, till the start of the next season.
That was horrible. What happened there with Lloris?
So there was shot from one of the Titans forward, and in an attempt to stop that shot, he got off balance, and while landing, he directly landed on his left elbow and he dislocated it. And he has been rolled out for at least till the start of next season. So that's a big blow. And going by the general form of the team, it doesn't look much promising. The players are looking drained out. It doesn't give out a sign of a good, confident team that it used to be under Mauricio Pochettino. And the players are looking lackluster, out of ideas. Harry Kane is misfiring. He started the season well, but then he has again gone off colours. Other attacking players in Dele Alli, Christian Eriksen, they all look out of sorts. So there are plenty of problems for Tottenham, and they should fix sooner than later. Or we might just see the second sacking of the season from Premier League in form of Mauricio Pochettino. So Tottenham might be just looking to replace him.
Yeah, but I think if they wanted to pick an opponent out of the current teams, you couldn't have chosen any better than Watford, who are the only team in the Premier League who are yet to register a victory. They find themselves at the bottom of the table and are coming out of a 0-0 draw against newly promoted Sheffield United at home in the last game. So things aren't looking good for Watford either. And Kike Sanchez Flores had a good start to life when that 2-2 draw to Arsenal. But we saw things fall apart in the next game with that 8-0 defeat to City, and they haven't recovered since. So it might be an interesting game, but as far as Watford are concerned, the only way is up, as they find themselves at the bottom of the table. And both struggling sides, it would be interesting to see how this plays out. What do you think, Prakar? What are your predictions for the game?
I expect a 1-1 draw from this match. Both managers were in an attempt to take things safe, might not go too aggressive, because that might backfire, and the current forms of both the teams, a draw would be the best result for them. So I expect a 1-1 draw or a goalless draw from this match.
I think Tottenham just have the quality to get over the line, especially playing at home, but I'm just seeing a 2-0 victory for Tottenham in this game.
Sure, that would be a much of a relief for Spurs as of now.
Well, moving on to the last part of the podcast, Prakar, any tips for the fantasy teams in this week?
First of all, those who did not have Alisson in their team, but it's time to get Alisson back. So he has been out, and you can replace all your goalkeepers, and people would want to have Alisson back because he's a safe and secure option. And going by the opponent, Liverpool, as of now, they face United, and next week they face Tottenham. Both teams are struggling, and we can expect a clean sheet from Liverpool. So Alisson is a goalkeeper that can fetch you a plenty of points in next 2 weeks. And I would take Son Heung-min. So my research told that Son Heung-min enjoys a great form against Watford. He has netted 5 goals against them. So if you want a striker, Son Heung-min can be a good forward to pick. As far as I will go with my safe bet and another striker in Sadio Mane. The man is in the form of his life, and he, more often than not, he is involved in goals and assists. So Sadio Mane, Son Heung-min and Alisson are my 3 picks. And my fantasy league always has Virgil van Dijk in the defensive option. So these are my fantasy pick players. What are yours?
Yeah, well, I think Kevin De Bruyne would be a good choice to bring back into your team. Since he's making his comeback, he would want to prove a point. And up front, I think a surprise pick could be Timo Pukki. He did score a brace for Finland over the international break. And they are playing Bournemouth, which will be another open game. So Pukki will have plenty of chances on goal. And I would also give you another surprise pick. I would say Jack Grealish would be a nice pick, because Aston Villa are playing at home to Brighton, and both newly promoted sides, again, I'm seeing a really open stretch game, and those are the type of games where Grealish really thrives, and he's a type of player who could contribute either with an assist or goal.
And also, let's not forget Tammy Abraham. He is now right now at the top of the goal scoring charts, so, and he is in the form of the life, as we have just discussed in this podcast. Tammy Abraham could be one of the picks.
Yeah, well, that brings us to the end of this segment of On the Ball. Thanks for joining us, Prakar. It was great having you on the show.
Thank you. Thank you, Destin. It's always great to be talking about football.
And now, now a word on a subscription product. Money Control Pro offers curated market data, independent equity analysis, exclusive trading recommendations, and actionable investment ideas to subscribers. In the Great Diwali discount offer, you can get access to Money Control Pro for as little as Rs. 289 for a year. Use code Diwali. The offer is valid on the web and Android devices. For more information, check out the Money Control website or mobile app.
With that, it's a wrap on this episode of On The Ball. If you have any queries or you have any suggestions for us, you could feel free to mail us at mcpodcast@nw18.com. I repeat, it's mcpodcast@nw18.com. For more news, views, and other updates, stay tuned to Money Control. Thanks for listening.